Hey, Wade again, and today I want to talk about small cell deployment prep notes. And what do I mean by prep notes? Preparation for small cell deployments. But first, just so you know, I've been working on small cells for the last 2 years plus, and 2016, I'm hoping they finally take off. So, but anyways, let me go into some things. I want to go around the background as to why the small cell deployments haven't exactly been taken off. For one thing, the small cell, the prices have been driven down, you know, and to around 5,000 a unit or less. They're coming down even more every day. Even though the numbers aren't there, they're still being driven down. And the carriers are driving them down, obviously, because they want an economical build. But the problem hasn't been the price of the hardware, like you may think. In this case, the problem has been deployment, site acquisition and deployment. The way people looked at these was a mini cell site, myself included, but they looked at it as they had to invest like they would a full small cell. So SiteAcq and deployment was roughly $50,000 or more, was more than that actually in some cases in the beginning, for a $5,000 unit. And that's how they looked at it. Now that $5,000 generally includes everything. The small cell, which is usually the BBU and the radio unit, all in one unit, and the antenna. So you're talking about an entire mini cell site, a small cell, very small cell, for let's say they were less than 10 grand at the beginning, they're about 5 grand, and they're even dropping below 5 grand. So here you have this mini site, and you're going to pay $50,000 to $60,000 for the deployment, and then you're going to pay $1,000 a month in leasing prices. The economics weren't there. Now, I don't talk about leasing because leasing's all over the place. That's a matter of where you want to go, okay? So let's forget the leasing. Let's talk about deployment. So 50 grand. Now, what happened was there are companies out there that work to make a lot of these prices drop. Site acquisition became more efficient and more focused around the pole. It had to get way less than what it was. Deployment had to get way less than what it was. Now, I know what you're all thinking, that the installer is going to get screwed. Let me tell you something. It wasn't the installer driving the price up. Installers based it on man hours, right? Man hours and hardware. What drove it up was the backhaul. The backhaul for fiber was so expensive. And everyone, including me, had fiber on their heads. So we had to put fiber in. That's what was driving the price up, the backhaul. So the price is driven down now, mainly because we've come up with alternatives to fiber. We've gotten smart with fiber. We can co-locate with fiber. And we have a lot of wireless backhaul now. The payback there when it was 3G didn't make any sense. But now with 4G and 5G, it makes sense. For one, it's an all data system. We don't have to worry about just standard voice. Now, don't get me wrong, voice over LTE is still very important and the quality is still very high, but it's a standard data system. So it makes more sense. So what we're trying to do is get the small cells out to the people that need it, and we're trying to come up with better planning. Planning, that's the key. Now that the deployment costs are making sense, and even femto cells, the small indoor cells, are way, way cheaper, what do we do now? Deployment costs have dropped due to education and planning. So now we have to be proactive as installers, right? We have to ask, what kind of backhaul are we going to put in? Is it DOCSIS, which is a cable connection? Is it going to be some type of wireless like microwave? Is it going to be E-band, 60 gig, sub 6 gig, or even a UE relay? Could use any of those. There's a lot of alternatives to copper and fiber that we can shoot it back to a hotspot where there is copper and fiber, say a building or a macro site. And there are companies like Crown Castle that figured this out that have assets out there that have power and they have backhaul at them. See, Crown Castle is looking at it holistically. I mean, I will give them a lot of credit. I know they're in the news. And there's a lot of companies like this. I just happen to use Crown Castle because they're big. I think everyone knows it. They understand that you can't go into a small cell deployment with a macro deployment mentality. I mean, you really seem to think it through. People ask me about small cell deployments all the time. They ask for a good place to start. Well, the first place I think you should start is get to know your small cell. What small cell are you deploying? You have Nokia, you have Alcatel-Lucent, you have Ericsson, you have, who am I missing? Samsung, I think Samsung has a few. Then you got the other major indoor guys like SpiderCloud. I think you have Airvana. I think Airspan's out there. Airspan has some units. Now suddenly you have a lot of these vendors that do it, that install small cells. So what I would recommend is vendor training. And if they don't have training, get the paperwork. Not every vendor has training and they just throw a bunch of paperwork at you. But I would read through the paperwork. Know your small cell. What do you need to know? One, does it have PoE, PoE is power over Ethernet. If it has PoE, then it is very important that you understand it has PoE. Why? Because let's say you're doing an indoor small cell deployment. Are you going to have to look for an outlet every time you mount these things? Are you going to have to hire an electrician to install it? Are you going to have to make sure you run extension cords so you have this power up in the ceiling? Because that's chances are that's where you're going to mount it, up in the ceiling up high, so it points, you know, across the hallway. Or let's say you're in a warehouse up high. Power matters. You know, regardless of the backhaul, power matters. You can run a Cat 5 cable anywhere in a building, but power is a little more complicated, especially in a professional environment where you'll need an electrician or the building's electrician to run it. It's not going to be free. I don't think he's going to do you a favor and just run you an outlet. Someone's getting paid, all right? And if you're paying them, it's coming out of your pocket, and that cuts into your budget. So when you quote the job, think of power. Power is important. Think of grounding, how you're going to ground the unit. If the unit needs grounded, some of these indoor units, you don't have to worry about grounding as much. If you're outdoors, you always have to ground. Everything gets affected by the lightning outdoors. All right, what's next? You have to think about how you're going to mount. They're probably going to lay it out where they want you to mount everything. And if you bid in the job, the other thing to think about, remember, you're paying your guys, you're probably paying your guys by the hour, right? That's probably how you're cutting this out, you know, 8-hour day, 10-hour day, 12-hour day, 2 hours a job, an hour travel, you know, something like that. If it's an indoor job, you probably have so many hours per small cells that you have to mount inside the building, and copper you have to run, electric you have to run, and so on. But the other thing is, did you sign up to do testing? Are you going to help commission the unit? The reason I bring this up, because even though they're plug and play, it's a cell system for a carrier. You're going to have to do some testing. Chances are you'll have to like sit there, wait till it powers up. Let's say there's LEDs on it. You'll read the LEDs. In some cases, you may have to connect to it and commission it and set it up. But if it's that is true. Not everyone has plug and play. So you may have to commission it. But also, and you want to do all this in one trip, but also you may have to do some optimization, which is basically they give you a smartphone, it has an app in it, and you walk around the building and make sure it has coverage everywhere it should. And then whoever's doing the commissioning or the integration on the remote side, they can probably read what's on the smartphone remotely. Also, you do upload tests, download tests, and so on. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, it sounds really cool, right? Well, if you're paying your guys to install and then they got to sit around for another 20 minutes, half hour, hour to do this, you need to know that. That's an hour of time. If you have one guy or two guys there, that's an hour of time. If you can send the next guy on to prep the next job and keep one guy behind, that's fine. That's good planning and something to think about. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, because you're probably bidding by the hour. So it matters. I just want you to be prepared for the extra hour you may have to spend on site, and also to plan it out, whether you're going to have two guys stay, one guy stay, one guy move on, two trucks, one truck. It all matters. It all adds up. So what about logistics? So when you're getting the hardware, where are you getting it from? Do they have a pickup point? I don't know if you guys remember the old days of DirecTV, but DirecTV used to have the companies come around to one spot to pick everything up. Well, with small cells, is the carrier going to have you go to one warehouse to pick everything up? Or are they going to ship everything directly to you? Or are you going to pick it up at the location you're doing the installation? Logistics screw a lot of people up. Trust me, I've been there. Logistics can cause confusion. So what I would do is be clear about that from the beginning. I always promote a scope of work. I would recommend you put that in your scope of work. Where you pick it up, how much time you expect to pick it up, and how far you expect it to be from the office. Within an hour, within 2 hours, within 3 hours. 3 hours, now you're talking 6 hours of time just to pick everything up. That's why I'm bringing it up. It's all time. The other thing I recommend is make a kit of potential hardware you might need to do the installation. Remember, you're going to be at a site, and if you expect to get done in a day and you have to take time out of your day to go to Lowe's or Home Depot just to buy hardware, it's going to slow you down. So just make a spares kit of hardware. If something goes wrong with a small cell and it doesn't work, that's not on you, right? It's going to be in the manufacturer. You would like to think that. I'm hoping you still get paid for that. But those things happen. DOAs happen. They're supposed to be tested before they're DOA. Again, back to logistics, where they should test everything before it comes out of the warehouse. But as small cell deployments ramp up, they're probably not going to do that. They don't do that with macros, right? With small cells being so early in the game, they're probably going to have DOAs, they're going to have to test and so on. Just giving you a heads up. I mean, did you ever buy a Wi-Fi unit or a router or a switch, you take it home and it doesn't work? I have. Makes you mad. You got to run back to wherever you got it, Best Buy or whatever, and return it, replace it, whatever. So I'm just giving you a heads up. Be prepared. The other thing is, chances are there was a site survey done and there's a scope of work. Make sure you read it. Make sure you understand it and ask questions prior to going out, preferably. I wouldn't wait till you got in sight and then say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I've never done this before. If you can, read it before you go out. If you're the PM, the project manager, it's great if you can give the installation crew a heads up and have them read it before they go out, because they're going to be the ones doing the work. They're going to be on site and they're going to ask you a lot of questions. And I've had things happen where I've run point-to-point links in a building-to-building and they moved the data room, literally moved it. I was supposed to mount it. There's usually a distance limitation. Even with Cat 5, it's 300 feet. And I was supposed to mount it in the roof and come down to the first data room on the top floor, which was, you know, less than 100-foot run. Well, suddenly they got rid of that data room. I don't know why. They just did, because it was literally 6 months between the survey and when we did the installation. And now suddenly I'd go all the way down to the first floor, wrap around to the other end of the building into their new data room, which was, you know, nearly a disaster, but it worked. I mean, it was just ate into time, ate into budget, drove you crazy. Anyway, just giving you a heads up. All right, everyone. Now remember, just because you're doing small cells, whether you're in a bucket or a ladder, you got to be smart, be safe, and pay attention. You can still have dumb things happen. And if you're going to run electric, I'd recommend getting an electrician to do it. I know in the old days, a lot of guys would do it themselves, but I'm just giving you a heads up. If anything happens with that outlet, you know, it's not going to look good. Oh, I forgot one thing with PoE, power over Ethernet. So you got to understand your small cell. Does it have PoE? If it doesn't, then you got to run power everywhere. And I know I brought this up before, but also make sure that the switch you're connecting to has PoE, because that has to provide the power for the small cell. And sometimes only certain ports have the power, just the way it's configured. So I would, you know, there's a lot of questions you need to ask when doing these deployments. Should be in the scope of work. Just verify. All right. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention. See ya.